I told you all to pray about what I had for you this week, last week. I hope that you guys have been praying so that whether you're joining us here in person, whether you're with us online, whether you're watching us across the world, that we're joined together in this one great vision. See, I talked about vision last week, a little bit about it. So let me tell you what I have received from the Lord, what I have seen. Because I've seen stuff that isn't quite there yet. See, that's what vision's all about, is seeing something that isn't quite there yet. And so I want to talk to you about some things that I see that aren't quite there yet. First and foremost, I see a family, a vast family of people that come together to glorify God on a Sunday, but not just on a Sunday. This is a family that gathers in homes. This is a family that reaches out Monday to Saturday. This is a family that wants to be together, that yearns to be together. As it talks about in the scripture at the first coming when they started to establish the church and they met daily. Can you imagine having church daily? You know, in America today, it's hard to imagine y'all coming here every single day and listening to me talk. But that's what they did, only they listened to Paul talk, so maybe that's why they did it every day. Maybe Paul was a little easier to listen to than me. I don't know. But I see this vast family. You know, I see a people or a place where people are safe to come in no matter what their walk is in life. I see a people ready to gather the wounded and bring them in. I see one who is like Jesus, the one that can set them free, that we are bringing to people. I see that this place won't be big enough. See, this place here, this sanctuary here, it's beautiful, y'all, but it ain't going to be big enough for what God has for us. We're going to be bursting at the seams because I'm here to tell you that in Kaw Valley, and I'm talking about St. Mary's, I'm talking about Maple Hill, I'm talking about Rossville, I'm talking about Silver Lake, I'm talking about all these communities out here. There is a vast sea of people who are hurting, who are broken, and who are in need of Jesus Christ. And I see a people that are in here today ready to go out and to bring that hope to this community. That's bigger than Rossville, that's bigger than Silver Lake, that's bigger than, it's just big. Because God does what? God does big things, right? God brings in big things, and so I see these big things, and that's kind of our vision, though. See, it takes the first part of our vision, it takes going out and then elevating within. It takes going out and then elevating within. See, that's the vision. Now, a vision is a 10,000-foot view of what God's purpose is for us. It's a little bit bigger. It's way up here. That's why it's short. It's a little catchy, right? But understand that it is scripturally based in what we talk about every single Sunday, and that is the Great Commission, to go out and to elevate within. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. If you don't believe me, you can go read it. And if you don't want to go read it, you can wait. Here in about 40 minutes, we're going to read it anyway. You're going to get it. But it's based on that. That is the vision that God has given me for Rossville Christian Church. Now, to accomplish this vision, to get us to where we're going, see, to get us to be bursting at the seams, to get us to have the discussions of what are we going to do? We don't have enough parking spaces. To get us to that point of bringing the lost to Jesus, bringing Jesus Christ to the lost. See, we got to go out. See, they don't have to come in. We got to go out. To get there, though, we got to be about the mission. See, the mission is the how-to of the vision. And it begins right here. See, we're going to focus on Christ. That's the key. We're going to focus on Christ as we connect Kaw Valley to what? First thing, authentic worship. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. If you want to turn over to John chapter 4, that's where we're going to be. We're going to talk about authentic worship. And I'm going to bring you John chapter 4 in a way that you may have not heard John chapter 4 before. And we're not going to do the whole thing. We're just going to do this first part. But I think it's important for us to see that because it begins here, this vision, this coming to this authentic worship. We have to understand what it is. If I ask you what is worship, what would you say? I guarantee you that the majority of Christians would say, well, that's the part of church service where we sing the cool songs. We had some cool songs this morning, didn't we? It's okay to say amen. We had some good songs this morning. We had some songs that kind of stirred us up, got us going, got the blood pumping. I saw some hands raising. I saw some dancing. That's okay. It's something to draw us to an attention. It's to draw our minds and our hearts and our souls to a place. There's a reason why we put the music there. The music helps us to focus so that as we get into the Word, our hearts, our minds, our emotions, our presence, our spirit is drawn to the place that's ready to receive the Word. Now, don't get me wrong. Music has the Word in it, but we're going to get into the Word. But I'm here to tell you that worship isn't just the music. Worship is the prayer. Worship was communion. Worship's the word you're going to hear today. Worship is the coming together and the shaking of hands. If you do that and the hugging and the... I saw some hugging out there, y'all. I know we're breaking rules. We're rule breakers. It's okay. As long as you're comfortable with it. It's the fellowship. The breaking of the bread. The prayer. It's devoting ourselves to those things that the Scripture tells us to be devoted to. As a matter of fact, worship must be in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4. Verse 23, it says this. Yet a time is coming. And has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Let's go to Him as a prayer. Father in heaven, we just ask You to reveal to us Your Word. As it's in here and it's talking about how we are to worship, true worshipers, true believers, true people coming to You, removing all of the fakeness, all of the show that we put on for the world. We want to remove all that. We just want to be plain and true, full of the Spirit before You. We want to worship in the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit invited into our hearts to give us wisdom upon the Word. And we want to worship in that truth, that true Word, that true meaning, that true heart that is Christ Jesus that guides us to love people in a real way. Let us be that kind of believer. Let us be those people that would worship You in spirit and in truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a short video for you.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying. You're like, I can't. I want to. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're at my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. We got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa, that's my favorite.
The circle of life.
Tim, can you go higher?
Yes, you can.
You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky, touchdown. There you go. There's your big three. You're set.
I want people to be able to worship in spirit and in truth. Everybody has their own style of coming to God. That's how personal God is. See, God wants your relationship. He doesn't want you to raise your hands if you don't raise your hands. He doesn't want you to do the things that you're not drawn by the Spirit to do. Some people are sitters. There's nothing wrong with being a sitter. You can sit and you contemplate, you draw it in, you just allow the Lord to wash over you. The key is, are you being true with yourself? Are you being true with God? And are you being in the Spirit? See, that's what it means to worship in the Spirit and in truth. It means being real, not only with God, but with yourself. You gotta come to it in a real way. And it starts, this worshiping in spirit and truth, I'm going to tell you, it begins by worship that convicts. Worship that convicts. I want to come back to John here, and we're going to go backwards a little bit, and we're going to go to verse 7. And I'm going to read verse 7 through 18 for you real quick. If you want to follow along, it'll be on the boards. If you have a Bible, you can pull your Bible out. If you got a Bible app, whip your phone out, do a Bible app. We're okay with that here. All right, again, here we are, spirit and truth. How do you reach out to the Lord? I want you to be real. If you need to just follow along here, that's okay too. But it says this, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also the sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." And he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." What you have said is quite true. See, authentic worship challenges us. Verses 7 through 9 there that we just read. Jesus and this woman, here they are. Here's this Jesus who's a Jew, and he's come to this place. And so first of all, let me tell you a little bit about the woman. The woman's drawing from the well, and it's in the middle of the day. People didn't draw from the well in the middle of the day. It's hot. And it's sweaty, and nobody would do that, except for this woman is not an acceptable woman in culture. She's kind of been around the block 5 or 6 times. And so she has to come out at noon, so she is not ridiculed, so she's not pushed to the back of the line, so she is not just, hey, you know, we're going to make fun of her. So she comes out in the middle of the day when she won't have to draw all this attention. That's this woman. Boy, how many of us have been there? How many of us have been that outcast, unacceptable? And so here's this woman, and she comes to the well, and here's Jesus, this Jewish man. So understanding, not only a Jew who doesn't associate with Samaritans, he's a man talking to a woman, and they're alone. This is also something not acceptable, but not only a woman, but this kind of woman. And so we begin to understand the question Jesus asked, because Jesus first challenges our precepts. He challenges us that what our culture says is normal, what is right and what is wrong. See, the woman responds in a normal, you don't ask me, you're not supposed to ask me. Matter of fact, you ain't even supposed to be talking to me. You're going to get me in more trouble than I'm already in. Thanks, Jew. And Jesus is saying, no. You don't understand. He says, if you would have just known who asks you for a drink, if you would only be real for a second. See, Jesus challenges our precepts. Isaiah 1, verse 11 through 13. And the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough burnt offerings of rams, of fatted animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. And when you come and you appear before me, who has asked this of you? This is trampling of my courts. Stop bringing me your meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assembly. That's some harsh language coming straight from the Lord. But it's God challenging our precepts of how we come to Him. He says, unless you're willing to strip away all of the facade, unless you're willing to strip away all of the stuff, unless you're willing to strip away what society says about you, unless you're willing to strip away what you think of yourself, unless you're willing to strip it all down and get rid of it, I don't even want you to come in my house of worship. He said, I'm tired of you being fake with me. It's time to be real. It's time to be real. And so here's Jesus doing the same thing. He's saying, look, I'm sick and tired of all these precepts people have. Who says I can't talk to a Samaritan woman? As a matter of fact, if you only knew who was talking to you, if you would only accept it for yourself and stop listening to what society says about you, if you'd stop listening to what your friends say about you, if you stop listening to what you say about yourself, and you just come to me pure and simple, I would give you the living water. And yet we put on the facade before we walk in here, before the family. We try to come in well-dressed. Smiles on our faces. We come in with the, I'm okay, you're okay, we're okay. Meanwhile, we're falling apart inside. We're arguing with our spouses at home. We're on the brink of divorce. We got our habits that we're into. We got our drinking that's a problem. We got our pornography that we're watching. We got our stealing that we're doing. We got our lying that we're all about. We got our gossip that's on the edge of our tongue. And yet we walk in here with a smile upon our face and say, it's okay. I'm okay. Because we haven't challenged our precepts of what it means to walk through these doors and come into a Sunday service of worship. That's why part of our vision is to come into authentic worship. Stripped away of all of the things that we're told to be, what we're said to be, what we say is proper, and coming to God in pure worship and in truth. Because Jesus here sets the tone for that worship in verses 10 through 14. As he's saying, if you only knew the gift of God that I was giving to you, if you only knew who stood before you. We look at John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. He's saying, you can't come to me unless you know me. He's saying, the problem is you don't know who I am. You've had too many precepts. You've had too many biases inserted into your life. You've been told how to worship for too long. You've been told how to come to me for too long. But if you only knew me, if you only took the time to ask the question, who are you, sir? Instead of coming at me with your precepts and biases, I would tell you who I was. I would give you living water. See, Jesus is the author of worship. We've got to let it be about Him, not about our neighbor, not about who sits next to us in the seat, not about how we think people are looking at us in the back, not about what eyes are upon us when we walk in the doors. It's purely about Him. It's purely about His living water. Because that authentic worship, when we come to it, will convict you. That's what 16 through 18 was all about, or 15 through 18 is all about, as he goes down through and he starts to ask her, and he says, hey, look, go get your husband. See, he's already calling her out. He already knows the truth. He knows why she's out there at noon. He knows what's going on here. He knows all of these things already. He's already seen through to the heart of her. See, that heart of word, I love that song. We were talking about this morning. I love that song. Coming back to the heart of worship. See, the heart of worship is truth and spirit. It's putting away all of the nonsense. It's putting away all the fakeness. And it's coming to Him in spirit and in truth. See, we cannot have true worship if we're living in our sin. So He says, give me some of that living water. I want some of that living water. He says, first, you got to be real. Not only real with me, but I want you to be real with yourself. Real where you're at in your walk. Go get your husband. Well, I don't have a husband. You're right to say that. You have five. As a matter of fact, you ain't even living with them. You're living with number six over here, who is not even your husband. But he doesn't stop there. He calls her to conviction and to repentance. Acts 3 and verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come to the Lord. But you have got to be real about your sin, and you've got to be real about yourself, and you've got to be real about yourself and your sin. See, we want to hide that when we come into the church, don't we? Yeah, we do. Come on. Look, I'm going to tell you, I'm the guiltiest one. I am the guilt. I remember being with my young girls, when we just had little girls. All my girls, I love them to death. Man, they can be a handful. But I love them. I love them. Now they're grown up, I don't have to worry about them so much. It's a different worry. Everybody who has grown-up kids knows it's a different worry. And so I have a different worry from my girls. But I'm here to tell you, look, there are times when I walked into church, I got the smile on my face, right? And me and my wife, I got my arm around my wife. We're coming in. We're looking all right. I'm here to tell you, 5 minutes ago, I got two girls fighting like one dog or two dogs on one bone outside in the car. And I'm talking about getting whippings, and everybody's a mess. And yet we come into church, we're looking good. I'm here in church. We're looking good. We okay? Why couldn't I just walk into the church with my kid by the ear going, yeah, this one's been messed up today. Go to Sunday school. I don't even want to deal with you right now. Why aren't we real like that? Church, we become a church of perfection. We become this church of a charade. That I come in and I put this face on. But I'm here to tell you, if we were in true worship in the Spirit, it would be okay to be broken. It would be okay to walk in tears. It'd be okay to grab somebody and say, I need prayer right now. I'm struggling bad. It'd be okay if somebody walked in and we could just tell they were hurting, and we stopped whatever we were doing, and the whole church just gathered up on this stranger, and we just prayed over them for the salvation of their heart, for the salvation of their struggle, for the salvation. You know, just being in Christ doesn't mean that we've become perfect. It means we got struggles. It means we tempted. It means we're, you know, the only thing that makes us different than the world is we sin and repent and they sin and don't. That's it. That's the only difference between us and the world, y'all. I still need a Savior every single day. It wasn't like I come into Jesus and all of a sudden I'm good to go and I didn't sin anymore. I'm here to tell you, we're still filthy. Are we ready to come to that kind of truth? Because John 8, verse 31, 32 says this, to the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings and you're really my disciples, then you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Not the facade, not the act we put on when we come to church. No, authentic worship in our brokenness is the truth of it all. That's what sets us free. For we are dirty and we need a Savior. Amen. Then we know who it is that we worship. And we know the truth of that worship is thanksgiving. For even a sinner like me can be saved. And don't let me being up here and having some kind of title like pastor fool you that I somehow got it all figured out, y'all. I stumble just like everybody else. I got struggles like, and ask my wife. She knows. She's front row seat to my brokenness. And I love her because she shows grace the same way Christ shows grace. And I show grace back and we're open to each other. And it's okay to be broken. It's okay to have the struggle. It's okay. Because Jesus is still working in us and he's working through us. And he's bringing us to a place. And I'm telling you, until we get to eternity, we ain't perfect, and we ain't got it figured out. And if you think you do, you need Jesus more than the rest of us, maybe. Because you're lying to yourself. But when you get it figured out, Luke 7, verse 47, 48, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. As her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. When we get it and we come to it and we realize what God has done for us, that's the excitement and the joy we have. Because those who have been forgiven much, worship much in spirit and truth and in joy and in love, they pour out much. But those who think they've only been forgiven a little, you know, I'm a pretty good person. Jesus hadn't had to forgive me a much. I've been all right. Those are the ones who love little, who ain't got it yet. But that truth of God will come upon us when we repent, when we know that we're filthy and we need him and we realize the forgiveness that he has poured out upon us. He wants us to repent and be saved. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's waiting for you and me to come to truth and spirit. He's waiting for you and me to come in with some authentic worship. He's waiting for you and me to bring that authentic worship out to the world. He wants you to stand before people and say, look, you don't even understand brokenness till you understand me and what God has done for me. You don't understand being dirty until you understand me and what God has healed in me. For it is by his grace alone that I am saved. It's exactly what Kent was telling us this morning. That's why this is so important as a part of our worship. Because it reminds me that without this, I got nothing. I got nothing. No matter how good I am. No matter how good I think I am, no matter how good many good deeds I do, I got nothing without him. 1 Peter 1, verse 16. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's it. It's time to be different. It's time to be different. Hey, 2021, right? New year. You know what we hate? We hate change. That's what we hate. But I'm here to tell y'all, it's time to be different. It's time to be different than what the world says the church has been. It's time to be different than what the world has seen us. It's time for a change. It's time to grab a hold of our vision and our mission. It's time to bring ourselves to some authentic worship. It's time for us to be real. My wife struggles with my cowboy hat. She don't like it. I don't care. Because I do. Matter of fact, I just had a compliment yesterday about my cowboy hat. That makes me feel good. And it didn't come from my wife. She says, "You never wore a cowboy hat before." I said, "That's because I was in the military. I had to wear the other hat all the time." I said, "But now I'm real." I said, "This is who I've always been. I've always been country. Grew up listening to country music. Grew up country out on a farm. Grew up country loving things of the country. I grew up loving small town. I'm country. That's my brother." He said, "You've always been a boot-wearing country freak." I said, "Yes, sir, I have." And so I wear my hat, and I love it. But my wife struggles with me being real, and I'm okay with that. She'll get used to it one day. I mean, I was so country, I had a goatee going on, loved it. But, you know, look, there's limits for everything. I shaved it for my wife, y'all. We got to be real with the Lord. We got to be real with each other, because worship, when we come to it true, will satisfy. You know what? And you know what? Y'all, don't even look at your watch. We're going long today. You all just hold on, buckle in. Here we go. John chapter 4, verse 19. Picking it up there and what it says here. "Sir," the woman said, in case you forgot, we're talking about the woman at the well. All right, you already told her, "Look, you gotta repent. You got too many husbands, time to get rid." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet." Duh. Right? I just called your junk out. "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place to most worship is in Jerusalem." Now we're getting to the heart of it all. She's saying, "You calling me out? I'm calling you out. We worshipped here first, and God told us to, but you say we got to go to Jerusalem." Look what he says here. He says, look at here. You don't even understand what he says here, verse 20. "Woman." I like saying that. "Woman." I tell my wife that all the time. "Woman." I said, it's in the Bible. Jesus said it. "Woman." She says, "Man." Sorry. Jesus replied, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation comes from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." Authentic worship will call the Spirit. See, it calls us into this new understanding. It calls us into this new place. He said, look, there's coming a time and a place where you ain't going to worship here, you ain't going to worship there, you're going to worship in here. It's about your heart. See, he's already told her, you need to be real. You need to be real with yourself. Now you need to be real with God. He's going to call your spirit, and he's going to call your spirit into the truth. See, worship isn't contained into a place. Now, look, I love having a sanctuary. I love a place where we can come together and we can worship and we can sing songs. But I'm here to tell you that this is just a building, y'all. This is a comfortable place. We got a little heat on this morning, so we're not freezing to death. In the summer, we got that air conditioning. I know y'all love that air conditioning, right? We get a little cool in here. Look, I appreciate the air conditioning. Look, I can preach all day in the cold. You get me in the heat, I'm going to be in trouble. Because I do a lot of pacing. I get to preach. I'll be up there. I'll be one of them preachers with the pad on. I'll be like, whoo, somebody give me some water, right? I enjoy the air conditioning. I appreciate the Lord has given us a place of comfort to come in and to worship together as a family. But I'm here to tell you, this is not the house of worship. The house of worship is in here. It is in your heart. It is in your mind. It is in your spirit. For God calls us to worship where? In the spirit and in the truth. So that is contained within me, because God lives within me. And I got to let go of the other stuff. To worship in spirit and truth means I got to let go of all the stuff I've been told that's not in the Word. I got to let go of all of the tradition that's not in the Word. How do I know that? Well, Luke 14, verse 26, pretty clear, y'all. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. So that means I can't say, well, Billy Bob said 40 years ago that this is how we have to do things, so we're going to do things like this. No, I'm going to come into here and I'm going to say, well, what does the Bible say? For I'm going to worship in the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to get my truth from the Word. And if it's in here, we're going to do it. And if it ain't in here, it's debatable. Amen. I know that's a hard amen. Because we got some people we really have loved have told us some things, and they aren't necessarily in here. They're great things. Look, I love Christmas. I love New Year's. Every New Year's, we make a big feast, and we have fun, and we play games, and it's a wonderful tradition, and we'll continue on doing it unless it starts to interfere with my worship of the Lord or His truth. Because sometimes it's going to happen. Our traditions become barriers. Our eyes into a place like this becomes a barrier. For a time will come when we no longer worship on the mountain or in Jerusalem. That time is now, and we worship in here. And we worship together in here. This is our house of worship. This is our hope for the future. This is our hope to call the lost to Christ Jesus. See, it's going to call us to be changed. It isn't going to be like it was. Revelation 21, verse 5, and he who's seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are what? Trustworthy and they're true. It ain't going to be like it was. Hey, y'all, it's 2021. Amen, right? Yeah, most of us are. That 2020 was a mess. And if I say that today, hey, it ain't going to be like it was, y'all going to be like, woo! Thank you, Lord. What about 2019? Going into 2020. Well, it ain't going to be like it was. Well, hold on there, Pastor. We like it like it was. We like how we do things. Jesus said it isn't going to be the same anymore. Because what we need to think about is the Spirit and the truth. That's the only true worship, y'all. The Spirit and the truth. That's the only way to come to know Him. That's the only way to deepen ourselves in Him. See, the truth comes from Jesus, and God is the Spirit, and He introduces the Holy Spirit within us when we come to Him. And the Holy Spirit comes within us, and it convicts us, and it tries us, and it changes us, and there's some great things the Holy Spirit will do if we allow it to do it. And we let go of everything else but God and the truth. Worship has to be honest and true. I'm here to tell you, here's some honesty for you. I thought I was going to be an intellectual pastor, right? I grew up watching some good pastors on TV. I watched them. I like them. Good pastors. They stood behind the podium like this. They had their Bible. That's a good thing. By the way, pastor with a Bible, always a good thing. You want him to have that. Step one, is your pastor acceptable? Does he have a Bible? Yes, okay. Does he read it? That's step two. That's a good thing, too. I thought I was going to be intellectual, and I was going to be talking about great intellectual theological things and having great theological arguments and logical things, and I can't even talk that way. I'm more like Paul, 1 Corinthians, said, hey, look, I didn't come with you with fancy words. I come to find out that as I started preaching, I'm kind of crazy. I don't know why I'm crazy. I just is. The Spirit gets a hold of me. I just go where He's just, look, He's just yanking me around. I'm like, woo, woo, right? Let me be honest. I hate talking in front of people. This is my worst nightmare. I can't picture people naked. I'm still looking at myself. I think I'm naked up here. That freaks me out. The Holy Spirit is what allows me. And so I just listen to Him and I let Him go. So all this zeal and stuff that I get, and I get moving, and I get a little loud, that's just Jesus Christ. He's just moving inside of me, and I'm just saying, okay. I'm just moving because Jesus is moving in my heart, and this joy bubbles over when I'm in it. And when I allow him to do it, it just gives me this joy inside, and I start getting a smile on my face, and I have this zeal inside, and it just keeps building because authentic worship drives us to that. If we listen to the Holy Spirit and the truth, sometimes it's going to go contradictory to who we thought we were. Do you really think David thought he was going to be a king? He was a poor shepherd boy. You really think that Peter in the boat fishing one day, throwing out his nets, pulling them in, talking to his brother, say, hey, bro, I'm going to be the rock one day that Jesus is going to build his church on. Believe that. Right? He didn't say that. He thought he was going to fish all the rest of his life. It went contrary to who they thought they were going to be. I thought I was going to be a cool worship guy in the back, computer guy. I thought I was going to do great. Like, you know, I wanted to do designs for the thing, and I wanted to, you know, put together networks for the church, and I want to be in some big church and in the background behind there where nobody ever saw me. Like, I want to be the wizard behind the curtain, right? And Jesus said, no, I'm going to need you to be a pastor. And I said, you're nuts. But when I'm true to myself, I realize that what I'm doing is what really brings me joy, and I know it's from him, and I know it's for everyone. Jesus reveals himself to the worst of society all of the time, and he calls the worst of society every time. He's saying you need to stop with the precepts and the biases. You need to let it all go. Galatians 3 and verse 28, for there is now neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. And we can no longer as the church hold people back from that truth. So it doesn't matter how they walk in. It doesn't matter who comes in here. It doesn't matter if they're dirty. It doesn't matter if they're clean. It doesn't matter if they're poor. It doesn't matter if they're rich. It doesn't matter if they're a drug addict. It doesn't matter if they're a homosexual, transsexual, or any of those other alphabet letters that they got in there. It doesn't matter if they're an addict. It doesn't matter if they're a closet liar. It doesn't matter if they come in with their facade on, because every single one of them needs the love and truth of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Thank you. Told you that one. I think I'm preaching harder than y'all are responding out there this morning. We got to let it all go. Because in that we'll find the satisfaction. Authentic worship will bring us to that satisfaction. That satisfaction when that person can come in and be real with us. And they truly come up and they're crying and they're pouring their heart out up here. And the whole church comes up and surrounds them and starts praying on them. I'm going to tell you, I don't reveal much. I go to this men's thing where I'm hoping to bring some guys this year to this. It's All In Ministries. It's a men's gathering. Kind of like some of the more popular ones out there, but this is more local based with local guys, local real people. I mean, we ain't got no Tony Dungy showing up, okay? We got guys like Brandon showing up, all right? And guys, I'm going to tell you, I seen some busted men come up, and I seen other men come on and pray on him, and I seen a change come on men's lives. But I come into the church on a Sunday morning, I say, why doesn't that happen here? Why are they afraid to be real in here? Why are they afraid to be real with me and you? Our authentic worship and in our own brokenness will defeat that church when we allow those things to happen. And finally, worship draws us deeper. John 4, verse 27, where we want to pick up. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him walking with a woman. Whoa, what's old Jesus doing over there? Anyway, but one asked... But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and they made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know about. We'll get to the rest of that here in just a second. I love it when he does that. I got food you don't know about. And they're like, well, what did he do? He go shopping on his own? What happened? Anyway, authentic worship draws us deeper into the truth. His disciples were amazed that not only would he talk to a foreigner, he was talking to a woman. Now, they didn't have the courage to speak out what was going in their head. Like, what are you doing with this woman, man? You just trying to get us in trouble, or what's going on here? Don't you know that's a Samaritan? Instead, they had learned by that time not to question those kind of things in Christ, at least not out loud. See, they were automatically challenged by their own biases and their own hearts. But I'm here to tell you that when we get into the deeper truth, it will destroy our biases in our hearts. It will destroy what we think about people when they walk into this, or when we go out to meet them on the street, when we go out to see them, when I go out to serve at the rescue mission on a Wednesday and those folks are in there and they're getting their dinner. I'm here to tell you, when I get deeper in the truth, I stop to say, man, why are these people here? Man, what's going on? Why are these people so messed up? Why can't they just get a job? I've been there. That's been my heart. But when I get deeper into the truth, I really get in there and say, how can I serve them better? How can I get deeper in love with them? How can I get closer and connected with them? And that's why I want to serve. That's why I want to be there, because I want to get into that relationship with them, because I want them to see that it doesn't matter who you are or where you are. There's this truth that draws you in and convicts you and changes you. See, because authentic worship will draw you deeper into the Spirit as well. Matthew 4 and verse 4. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And this part is written when Jesus is in the wilderness and he's being challenged by the adversary. And most people agree that it's Satan that has come to him. And he says, oh, you're hungry? Turn some of these stones to bread. It's cool. You can do it. And he's saying, nah, I'm in the Spirit. I'm deep down. I don't need your bread to survive. I survive on the very word of God. And the funny thing is, that's exactly what he's telling his disciples right now. He says, I got bread you don't know about. I've got my food. I've got my provision. It's purely in the Lord because I'm deep in the Spirit. And I'm about the Father's business. And that's relationships. Authentic worship will drive us deeper into relationship. Folks, it's time to reap the harvest. Look what it's saying here. I'm going to come back here to verse 33. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? They still ain't got it yet. They like me. They're real dense. It takes a minute. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It is still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. It's time to go deeper, folks. It is time to take ourselves off the spiritual milk of basic understanding, and it's time to worship in spirit and in truth, which will draw us deeper. Hebrews 5, verse 11 through 14, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make clear to you because you are no longer, or you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. It is time for us to grow up in the Spirit. It is time for us to get deeper into the truth. It is time for us to grab a hold of the vision God has for us, to go out and to elevate within. And the only way to do that, authentic worship. That's step one. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the word that is the truth. Thank you for the Holy Spirit which dwells within us. Thank you for your love which elevates us into a deeper understanding. Thank you for your peace which rests upon your believers. I pray that this word has challenged hearts today. that has challenged people to grow and be deeper in love with you, that has challenged